I want to share this afternoon. It's called Being Prepared in Lockdown. it's lockdown is a time when you can't go where you want to. You can't do the things you want. God encloses you and limits you. And there's another word for lockdown, actually. And if you go to the Bible, it's the word exile. Exile. And what we find is that God does this enclosing and this limiting to different people with great purpose. With great purpose. And so I want to do that. I want to share on that. I want to share on three particular people and maybe comment on some more. I don't know. We'll just see how the time goes. But I want to talk about Joseph. And I want to talk about Moses. And I want to talk about the disciple John. And in their lockdown, they were put in positions where nothing was familiar, where nothing, where they couldn't, they were locked away from the people that they wanted to be with and couldn't spend time with. And but in God's eyes, lockdown or exile, putting someone in exile. These are some of his highest people. I mean, this is... This is important stuff, to do that in God's heart, as I said, it is He's preparing them for something, but He's doing more than that. He's not just preparing those individuals; He's preparing those individuals to be prepared for what He wants to do. On a grand scale, on a large, large scale. And in the case of, well, on some front, this is almost a world-shattering scale for all of them. Just on a grand scale of doing something. So God doesn't waste his time. And God doesn't just ignore, the pandemic or whatever, he usually, in that kind of situation, he calls for it. He calls for it. And he does it because a lot of times we won't slow down or we won't pay attention or we won't. And so he's trying to bring that about. So I wrote down the necessity of being exiled away is in order to correctly see and bring back a message from that exile. To number one, correctly see what's in the heart of the Lord for if you will, for this time, for that time that they were in. What is it? Not just what do we believe or what are we currently searching out? But what is it that's in his heart? And then during that time, to know that is extremely important because he calls those who go through the exile, go through the lockdown, and go through it correctly. He calls them to come out of there with a really strong message. A really strong message from him. So, before I say something on that line, let me just say that all three of these people didn't really start in the right spirit. They had a portion of the message before the lockdown, but it got really formed. It got really formed, and not just the message of it, but the spirit of the messenger got really formed during the lockdown. And so I wrote down, do you correctly see what he wants? Do you correctly see what's going to come after? I know a lot of people aren't even thinking in terms of that. Of, you know, they don't, we're just trying to get through this thing. Well, we need to be doing more than that. All right, so let's talk about Joseph. You know, before lockdown, before the exile, Joseph was extremely blessed and content and happy. I mean, he had a lot of good things going for him. So in Genesis 37:3, it says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. So, I mean, this is before the lockdown, before the exile. Life was good. I mean, it was real good. I mean, he was, you know, in real good relationships with his father and everything. And he also would dream different kind of dreams, and they were from God. But we know that not all of his reactions to those were the Lord. And then after all of that, then came the lockdown. And it started with, you know, his brothers stripping him of his coat of many colors and all this, and being sent down with the Ishmaelites into Egypt, and being put in Potiphar's house, and being eventually put into prison, a dungeon deep down. And it was there that things began to really change in his heart. And it was there that God called him out of exile after we don't even know how many years. He was 17 when he went in, and he was, you know, I mean, he literally died in Egypt. But anyway, so you know the story. You know the story when God calls him out. And you know the story that he was made second only to Pharaoh. And you know that that he heard from God about, hey, you know, we're in a famine, we're in a bad time, you know, we're in a famine pandemic here, and that his wisdom, but it wasn't just his wisdom. His name was Zaphnath-Paneah. That's what Pharaoh called him. The man to whom God reveals his secrets. That's, man, I wish that would hit us all so deeply. I want to be the person to whom God would reveal his secrets. He would feel comfortable and know I'm not going to use it for my own advantage or reputation or any of that kind of stuff. And anyway, and so when he came out of it, he came out of it with hearing from God and with giving Pharaoh the message of God, and that was a worldwide famine. Now I want you to think about that. I mean, this is a worldwide pandemic. I want you to think about that. You know, we had 9/11, but that dealt with the United States and, you know, some Arab countries. We had world wars, but they really weren't world wars where everybody was in the fight. There were nations and places that weren't even touched by it. But this is a worldwide pandemic. And God needs somebody to be in exile long enough for what's going to come after it. Because the pandemic isn't what it's all about. Anyway, so I wrote down, exile had purpose for the whole world in relationship to Joseph. The preparation in exile made that difference, and the world was fed. The world was fed. All right, so let's go to Moses, because you know these things are usually short, so I have to move right along. All right, so Moses, he was spared. He was, you know, supposed to be killed as a little child, and what his mom did, put him in a basket, and that's where Easter came from. Not really. Not really. And put him in a basket and sent him out in the water, and the Pharaoh's daughter found him, and the whole process, he was brought into Pharaoh's house, raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and therefore had all of the benefits of that kingdom. But you know, and it even talks about that in Hebrews, that he rejected the riches and all that. Well, he didn't reject that right away, folks. He lived under that for, let's see, 40 years. 40 years. And then he went into exile. He went into lockdown. And he went into, he was put in Midia. And in Midia, he was on, the scripture says that he was a shepherd on the backside of the desert. This is after being raised and having all this benefit, you know, and think of Joseph, think of Moses. This lockdown is tough, man. This is bothersome. I can't do this. And where's, I want to visit so-and-so, and all these gripes that we can have. Well, you can have them if you want. I'm sure Joseph did. And I'm sure that Moses had a few talks with God or murmured or whatever. It doesn't recount either one of those doing that. But, you know, if it's just a pandemic or if it's just a, you know, a famine or whatever, and you have no purpose in it or what God's trying to do, then murmur. Just murmur. I mean, you know what happened to the murmurers in the wilderness. Just murmur then if you want to. But if you are there with purpose and you're hearing from the Lord and you want that mantle of the reality of what his heart really has, you'll carry that through the rest of that lockdown. It won't be that hard. In fact, it can end up being a real, real, real blessing. But those are the decisions that we make in those things. And then we have John. And in one sense, John had the best life before the lockdown than anybody in this sense. In the book of Mark, we have... Jesus suffered no man to follow him except Peter, James, and John. Okay? And then Mark 9:2, 6 days he taketh up into the high mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration. There it is. Peter, James, and John is there. Still in Mark 13, and he sat on the Mount of Olives at the temple. Peter, James, and John. And, then they go into Gethsemane to pray. Peter, James, and John. But then for John, after all of that, having been with the Lord, God wants him to know Jesus on a different basis, on a heart basis, on a so close that he lives in you, not close, close, as close can be. Not I. And so he sends him to an island. Most of you know that. Most of you know the name of it, Patmos. He sends him there because there is a message that God wants to say that can have worldwide implications, all of them. I mean, Moses's was, while it didn't affect the whole world, it did in the sense that it affected the whole of God's people. And so in John's, it was the book of Revelation and the revelation of Christ and the revelation of the Lamb's nature in extreme situations. And it closed out the Bible. And so, I had a few more that I would have mentioned. The city of refuge. Ooh, the city of refuge. Ezekiel. Good stuff here. But, so I wrote down, in exile, he teaches you to lose your words, thoughts, and ambitions. All is lost. There you lose hope in yourself. When you speak, it's only for him and his timing. And then, Just this one great meaning. What if there was one great meaning for the pandemic? What if all the other meanings we gave to it, political, you know, environmental, so many meanings that we give to it. While God is doing the same thing that he's always done, but we didn't notice it in the Bible, he's wanting us to be with him and to be so locked down, so in exile, that we can't run here and go do this and have an excuse that my life demands all this stuff, but that we could have him, and that we could hear from him, and that we could be changed on the inside so that he could say, now I want to send you. Now I will send you. And he will send with a message, his heart message. And folks, we don't know, I'll just end with this, we don't know what the world's going to look like with when this is over. The world, the whole world could drastically change. World leaders could change. Countries that were up could be down, and countries that were down could be up. Vast differences that we couldn't dream could come about, and we would be unarmed and unaware and caught off guard. But if we're with the Lord during it, and we don't know, we're not trying to be somebody great, we just want his heart. And we want to know what his plan is, that if he wants to use us, then he can use us. And we want to be there, hear my Lord. Remember Samuel, Isaiah, Abraham. Hear my Lord. Hear my. Can we say that? If we can't say, I know what this is about and I'm going to be involved in it, or I know, or I am being transformed during this time for his purposes, then we're not saying, here am I. But I know your hearts, so I'm not worried about that. But our hearts have to be moved out of the security of our little realm of thinking and opened hearts where he can fill up and he can overshadow and he can touch and change and bring healing. And I don't just mean physical healing, but yes, bring healing to our destitute parts that still resist him. So I just want to point you in the direction of maybe preparations. Preparation. Let's pray. Father, I so thank you that when things happen not just on a national level, but on a world level, that you clearly, clearly are moving and preparing for something greater. Father, I know we think of Israel when they went into captivity as the only ones who went into captivity. But the whole known world that was held by Assyria and then Assyria and Egypt, and they're uniting together. It all fell, all of the little countries, all of the big ones. And they all went into captivity and became part of Babylon. Captivity, lockdown, exile. But Father, Daniel saw what was needed and why this was coming about. He saw the lack of sacrifice. He saw the lack of honoring the feasts. He saw the lack of when it was time to be with you, that we weren't there and we were going to have to be in exile for that amount of time with the hope that we would come out ready, ready for what's coming. Father, open our lives, open our hearts to you. Melt us more. I heard the meltedness. I heard it in our prayers. I'm so thankful, Father. But I just ask you, melt us more, not for us, not for the ones we prayed for, but for your sake, for what you want to get out of this. And Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks. It's been a long time since I've done the blog, and it's always my honor, my blessing to be able to share with you. I love you. I love you. And I'm praying for you. Amen. Bless you.